we interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, July 25 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, kicking off live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here, as always, on a Thursday, and ready to set sail the full three-hour tour coming at you today on Acadiana Sports Station. In tow, per the huge. Of course, he missed 4 days last week, but we won't penalize him for that. The famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Busy show today. A lot of guests, mainly on the back end of the program. We'll have a little more opportunity, you and I, to talk up front, and I'm going to begin talking season on a Thursday with the news out of Saints camp. Yes, the team has reported, and no, Michael Thomas is not with them. So the Saints all-pro wide receiver, not with the team, at the facility in Metairie today. I think we understand at this point some of the particulars, but I'll go into more detail as we lead off. And you can get in if you'd like. 706-0111. Your level of concern, if there's any whatsoever. I'll go through the details, then I'll share my thoughts. The receiver, his representation, seeking a new deal. The sides reportedly could be within about $2 million a year of one another, but they're not there yet. And it appears that number 13 will stay away until they are. Again, the first thing I'll tell you that just leaps off the page, it's better this happens now than during the season, and surely better than it happening sometime between the middle of February and this time next year. Thomas is going to play this year, assuming they can reach a deal, and I feel confident that they will. You don't get that close and then kind of fade away and fizzle out. There's also this to consider. Michael Thomas is far from the only player that didn't show up with his team today. Amongst the others, Zeke Elliott with the Cowboys, Melvin Gordon with the Chargers, and Trent Williams, one of the league's best offensive linemen. Guys are holding out this time of year. It should be almost understood that it's the business of sports. Doesn't mean that Saints fans won't sweat a little bit, even as the temps are a little bit lower right now than typically they are this time of year. But let's get to some more of the particulars, because it's all worth putting into the puzzle. The financial details, Mike Thomas subject to a $40,000 fine per missed day of training camp. But I think this might be maybe the most influential detail. And all the credit here goes to Mike Triplett of the Mothership. I never really looked at it this way, but Mike made a great point. The Saints have never spent more than $10 million per year on a skill position player. Never done it. Obviously, you take quarterback out of the mix there. They've never had to for a running back. They've never done it for a wideout or a tight end. You may ask about Jimmy Graham. Triplett even reminds that Jimmy Graham's salary before they traded him never exceeded that level. But here's the other side of that coin from Triplett. But the Saints have never spent so much, because no one has ever meant so much to their offense as Michael Thomas has. The stats, as he reminds, Michael Thomas last year, 125 catches. No other wideout or tight end had more than 35. Now, we know that Alvin Kamara did. He's an incredibly versatile offensive player. Hate to even just saddle him with running back, because I think he can be a little bit of Marshall Faulk. There we go. Don't want to call a Hall of Famer Marshall Fart, but you know that guy from New Orleans. That Falk was awfully good. The Colts, then the Rams, and AK-41 has that type of potential. But I think a strong case can be made that Michael Thomas right now means more to the offense, even with Mark Ingram shipped out of town. And so I'll get your take on this. Any concern for you, as the Saints have reported, and Michael Thomas has not come marching in? Let us know. 706-0111. I'll remain adamant on the program. A deal will get done here. It'll happen before the second week of August at the latest, and this guy will play in at least one preseason game, and he'll suit up for the Saints in the opener Monday night against the Houston Texans a little more than a month from now. So I think right now this is the nature of sports business, but I think all eventually will be right. Now, from one player who hasn't yet reported on the NFL side to a report that a Major League Baseball player has been traded away from a team we carry on 103.7 The Game. About noon today, news trickled out that Houston Astros first baseman Tyler White has been traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And no, this is not going to be the move that gets you a big-name pitcher. This isn't the big deal before next week's free agency deadline. Because here's what's coming in return from the Dodgers. Unfortunate name, by the way. Let me give you an unfortunate name alert sounder. Andre Scrub. And yeah, with two B's. Andre Scrub is coming back to Houston in exchange for Tyler White. Who is he? A right-handed pitching prospect. Where is he? Double A, the best that I can tell. And so that's a little damning right there. And White was designated for assignment last week, which probably should have been some kind of indication, to clear a way for Jose Urquidy, who's currently part of this makeshift starting rotation after your first three, Verlander, Cole, and Wade Miley. But interesting news, a guy that was a homegrown Astros prospect, they're not going to wait around to see if he makes good. And White was like the human torch. Cat was on fire down the stretch of last season. Second half of 2018, they were riding a boomstick in Tyler White. It's never really extended into this 2019 campaign. And so Tyler White and Astro no more. And according to our guy Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle, looks like the same fate eventually will befall Tony Kemp. Speedy outfielder, another of those Astros homegrown guys, according to Chandler. Once Carlos Correa is ready to return from the injured list, Tony Kemp will be designated for assignment, and there's a strong indication that one of the other 29 teams in Major League Baseball will scoop him up. So a lot going on today in professional sports here in the Deep South and along the Gulf Coast. Michael Thomas has not yet reported to Saints camp. Looks like he'll sit it out until they work it out in the boardroom. Tyler White traded away from the Astros for a double-A right-handed pitcher. And it looks like Tony Kemp might be in line next. Speaking of next, let me tell you what we have coming up. A Singersome question that is black and gold themed at 4:30. Our first and only guest of the opening hour and a first-timer to the program. Got to catch up with her a little bit at Sunbelt Conference Media Day. And Madeline Adams, KLFY TV 10, will be our guest at 4:30. We'll talk some Cajuns, a little LSU, and Saints as well. Madeline Adams making her B2BS debut in about 20 minutes. At 5:05, Ken Trahan, Crescent City Sports. The guy's also chairman of the board for the Saints Hall of Fame Museum. Who Dat Nation, you'll be excited to hear from Ken Trahan at 5:05. At 5:45, Eric Mouton, head basketball coach at Ascension Episcopal, talking a little prep and a little Cajuns basketball during the summer. And speaking of prep, from 6 to 6:30, you're not going to want to miss Blaine Viator. He's going to sit right here across from me at the Tap Room River Ranch. And today his assignment, you got to talk about four high school programs. The only stipulation, they can't have made the Final Four in their classification last year. So we'll continue digging a little bit. Programs that are on the come. Blaine Viator talking all about it from 6 until 6:30. We'll be right back in with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on a Thursday from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Great. gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
You should be nothing short of embarrassed with yourself, CD. No scrub. As we play back in, if you don't get it, I'll explain. Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, having fun at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Hey, don't forget, they've got live music here every Thursday from 8 to 11. Jones and Hollers will be laying down sound tonight and for the next couple of weeks. Even with the weather feeling good, they've got your Saturday summer music series. Same drill, Saturday 8 to 11, no cover, just great live and local music. It'll be Carl Sanji this Saturday night. Yes, Clint, Tyler White from the Astros was traded to the L.A. Dodgers for double-A righty pitching prospect Andre Scrub. You feeling good about yourself now?
I feel pretty good about that, especially because I can just feel the palpable just wash of like, just from you all the way out of the tap room. I can feel it here inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing.
Nice plug there, guy. Disgust is the word, and yes, it's just painted all over me right now. So you never know what he's going to come with, and hey, I don't either. I guess that's the beauty in it. You could probably predict what we're going to do this time every day. It's the sink or swim question of the day. We led off with the Saints. Play the music. We'll get right back there. Might be more accurate, CD, to call this the sink or swim fill-in-the-blank of the day. So fill-in-the-blank at the end of this sentence. The Saints' success this season depends most on, and there is your blank. Take this wherever you want. I have a pretty good idea where some of you are going to take it. So first person to say the referees will either flog you or will give you a free beer here at the Tap Room River Ranch. It'll be one or the other. You could call, let us know, and well, it's either behind door number one or two there. But anything else that you're thinking, it could be a player, a position grouping, a certain block of the schedule and how they navigate it, could be health. Let us know what you're thinking. Call us up, 706-0111. CD, despite that wretched bumper music, you get the lead off.
I appreciate that, Ben. But, you know, for me, it's got to be without a doubt. You talk about the block of schedule. I think it's the entire 2019 schedule. That's going to be the biggest harbinger for me of things to come whenever you're looking at the New Orleans Saints schedule. Because the first 4 weeks alone are extremely tough. You've got the Texans, you've got the Cowboys, and you've also got, obviously, the Los Angeles Rams. I'd put the Seattle Seahawks in there, but I'm not necessarily all in on them being a quote-unquote contender. And then things kind of dip down a little bit. You got a Bears team that's seemingly on the come up. The Falcons are always going to be a team that'll give you a lot of hell. It just feels like the first half of the season is going to be extremely tough to wind up coming out of there at least somewhat in control of your own destiny, because after Thanksgiving, things will start getting a little bit easier for you.
I'm glad you said Thanksgiving, because my point doubles back to that shortly as well. But again, let me clarify something. Did I just ask what the most pivotal part of the Saints season is, and you said the entire season? I'm going to assume he's taking a phone call there, but silence is probably better than what you would have come up with. It's the most important part of the season. I'd say it's between week 1 and week 17.
No, but you're talking about the block of the schedule is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I said the block of the schedule. Okay, I should have said a portion of the schedule,
yeah.
Not the entire damn slate. All right, I'm going to give you mine, because I guess I'm betting that we've got somebody that wants to talk with us here in a moment. I'll make it quick. Breeze's arm and how much they can rely on it and him Thanksgiving and beyond. So I am glad that you said Thanksgiving, because we can all agree with this. The Saints have one of the top 3 to 5 rosters in the league on paper. They've got tons of momentum coming out of the last two seasons. We know that at Minnesota, home versus the Rams, things have ended poorly, but they have been cooking with all kinds of grease going into the postseason these last 2 years. So the question is, how do they take it to the next level? How do they go the next step? And for me, I think a lot of it is Breeze, the arm strength, and how much is the offense in particular able to get by without him having to play Atlas and put the team on his shoulders. A lot of people say the Breeze-Armstrong narrative is overblown. I'm not one of them. I think there is something to that as he's now at 40-plus. And once you get past week 11, week 12, I'm interested to see how that dynamic plays itself out, because they are going to need him in some of these playoff games to do some of that Atlas routine. So that's mine. Breeze, his arm, how much they can rely on it and him to win games, sometimes by himself, once it gets to money time this season. All right, let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Ron, you are first up.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I'm wishing with that been just in a different way. I think you're going a lot to do with their success, a lot to do with they can they run the ball. If we can run the ball, take a little pressure off of Breeze, pretty much what you were saying. And maybe even a tight end position, because, going back to the Rams game, if our tight ends make one or two plays early in the game, we're probably not in this situation. So I think a lot of it would, take a little bit off of Breeze, the home trend, everything like that. If we can run the ball, I think our tight end is going to play a role too. So that's just my take on it.
There you go. Ron is ready, and he's paging Jared Cook. He needs some productivity from a receiving tight end. Maybe that would cut into the 125 receptions Michael Thomas was required to have for this team last year. Let's take another. Back out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Ryan, thank you for waiting. What you got for us?
I'm really interested to see how they're going to take the loss of Mark Ingram and adjust to the new running back. I think it's Murray, and without it causing Alvin Kamara to do any more work in the running game.
I like that one a lot. Ryan, let me go a little deeper there, because you notice what he said. Kamara had to do more in the running game. That's important, because he'll continue to be a focal point of the receiving game, right? And then when you can have Taysom Hill along with Alvin Kamara in the backfield, suddenly you've got to defend two elite-level rushers, one with the athleticism, one with some physicality and athleticism. You got to defend both in kind of a modern NFL version of the read option. So I'm with Ryan 100% there. How much can they supplement Kamara in the run game to make him effective at everything they're going to ask him to do, which, hey, we know, sometimes even includes return duties. The guy's that good. Let's take another. We're having fun talking Saints to lead off the program today. Waiting for us aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Frank, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great, Ben. It's got to be Taysom Hill and the defense. To me, Taysom Hill is a Swiss Army knife that you cannot forget about. And apparently some people have forgotten about the presser that Sean Payton gave many months ago, saying that Taysom Hill was going to be an integral part of the new wave offense. It's got to be. Everybody knows what Alvin Kamara is going to do. He's going to be slippery like boiled spaghetti. He may return a couple of kicks, but it all boils down to Breeze's arm strength, like you pointed out. Yeah, I get that part, but they started to integrate Taysom Hill earlier, and the defense. What hole? Did Sheldon Rankins leave?
You're the first person yet to bring up the defense, and that's an awfully good direction to go. And it's not just maybe the absence of Rankins. Can they be better across the board in the secondary? I'm with you on that. I think that's going to be very important this year. Some of these guys they brought in along the defensive line, how quickly will they adjust to life as a starter and in the rotation? Frank, I appreciate the call. Something to think about.
Who is it, Ben?
Easy money. So Ron's called in. He's given us tight ends in the passing game. Ryan, running backs not named Alvin Kamara. And Frank, part Taysom Hill, part Saints defense. The more I think about this, there's not a lot they have to do to change the formula from last year, right? But there are some necessary pieces to the puzzle that are just different. Ingram's one of them. You subtract him. Rankins is one. You subtract him. So next up, how's it going to be with Latavius Murray? Next up, how's it going to be with some of these guys like Malcolm Brown who are supplementing along that defensive front? So these are good so far. We'll have time to take more. We're really just getting started today. With you until 7 o'clock, Madeline Adams making her B2BS debut. KLFY TV 10, she'll be with us here in about 5 minutes. So make sure you catch that. We'll reflect as we talk UL to start with Madeline, I don't just want to go Sunbelt Football Media Day. She and the crew at KLFY had the chance to sit down and do some filming and TV work with Tony Robichaux within a week of his passing. So that was her first time, as she told me, actually meeting Coach Robe. So I want to get that perspective and excited to bring her on the program. So do not go anywhere, you know, unless you're coming here. We're hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch, the best flatbreads in town. You got delicious wings with the swing sauce and more than 40 beers on tap. A great place to come while you continue listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Of course, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game. Perfect reintroduction, perfect place to be every Thursday. Start your weekend a little early with us. Hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch, I am Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Fired up about our next guest. Let's go find her. Aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, she is a sports anchor, reporter for KLFY recently, anchored TV10's coverage of Sunbelt Media Day in New Orleans. Madeline Adams is with us. How are you, Madeline?
I'm good. How are you, Ben?
Life is good here, and I know it's a lot of fun over in the Big Easy. Your impressions of UL football and their turn at the mic and the podium?
Yeah, I can tell you, I'm really excited. You know, I think with Billy Napier entering his second year, I mean, I talked to him about this. He had a lot of success his first year. I mean, being able to take his team to the Sun Belt Conference Championship game in his first season, I think was, you know, exceeded a lot of people's expectations. And but I think, you know, he didn't really want to talk about last year's success. It was all about what he's going to do this year to really, you know, exceed the expectations this year. I know they're picked to win the West again this season, you know, but he's always kind of said, like, it's not about what happened last year. It's not about even the expectations this year. You know, he's just ready to get to work. And, I mean, I think you hear that from all of his players, too, as well. You know, I talked to Deuce and Bam, and they were both, you know, just ready to get to work. They're excited for football season. You know, I think the Cajuns are going to exceed the expectations this year. And I think, of course, they'll go back to the Sun Belt Conference Championship game, and I expect them to win, actually. So, I'm excited for some Cajun football, for sure.
Big expectations. We'll talk about some that right now people have already set for LSU and the Saints momentarily. But, Madeline, I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on Coach Robe. And you told me a story in New Orleans that it just kind of stuck with me. You're new to the area. You just started with TV10, and KLFY had you bring in Tony Robichaux. And ultimately, this ended up being not long before he had his heart attack. I'd love for you to tell our listeners that story and what that encounter, that introduction was like for you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, actually, the first time that I ever interacted with Tony Robichaux was after the Wally Pontiff Classic in New Orleans with LSU and UL. And, you know, he didn't have to talk to the Baton Rouge media. I was actually interning at WAC at the time. He didn't even have to give a post-game interview to Baton Rouge media, but he offered, and he was just genuinely nice to do that. So that was kind of my first impression of Tony Robichaux. I knew he was a great dude. And then I, you know, get the job here in Lafayette. I'm super excited to cover him. And then we have this show every Sunday night called Cajun Nation. And we normally like to bring in coaches for an interview. So this particular week was Tony Robichaux. And we filmed it on Thursday night. And he comes into the studio, and George Faust, the sports director at KLFY here, he interviews him, and the interview probably takes maybe 20, 30 minutes. But Tony Robichaux stayed and talked not only about baseball, but about life with us for a good 2 hours. And it didn't feel like we were a burden to his time. I mean, the guy was so busy, but we didn't feel like we were being a burden to his time. He genuinely felt like he wanted to, you know, just to talk about life with us. And for me, coming in, I mean, not knowing a ton about UL athletics and just getting to feel like, hey, this coach made me feel really important, made me feel really, like, you know, worthy of his time of 2 hours. That just meant a lot to me. And just, you know, like I said, we didn't just talk about baseball. I mean, we just kind of talked all about life. We talked about, you know, George kind of asked him about advice for his Little League team that George coaches, and Coach Robe was just so excited to give him advice on that. And, you know, we just kind of talked about everything about life in between. And I just kind of took it all in. And so just in those 2 short hours that Coach Robe talked with us, you know, I was just so excited to cover him. And, you know, I just really felt like, wow, this dude is special. And not every baseball program has a man this great leading its program. So, yeah, I mean, that was my first impression with Tony Robichaux. And but I actually got to, you know, sit down and talk with him. And that was Thursday. And then he had the heart attack, unfortunately, that following Sunday night. So, I mean, it was right before. But, like I said, I'm just so lucky that I got to meet him and really talk with him, even just for those 2 hours. So, because I mean, I knew how special that time with him was and just how special he was.
Our guest is Madeline Adams. She works with KLFY TV 10 as a sports anchor and reporter. And if you want to see some of the video that she cut up, I'm going to encourage our listeners to go to the Twitter account, at the Mad Adams. You're going to see a compilation of the best Robisms. Really cool. A walk down memory lane there, Madeline. So I'll switch it over. I know that you graduated from LSU. High expectations on the other side of the basin. What's your outlook for this 2019 season for the Tigers?
I am so excited. Well, you know, Ben, it's really different. I mean, I kind of grew up watching LSU football, and you know, LSU's never really been known as a quarterback school, you know, or having a really, you know, steady quarterback. But I'm really excited this year that during the offseason we know who our quarterback is going into, you know, week one. And there's no kind of quarterback competition really in you know, leading the LSU football offseason talk. We know who the guy is, Joe Burrow. He proved himself over and over again last year. I'm really excited to continue to see how he grows. And I'm really excited about Joe Brady. I mean, I just think when you bring a guy in as talented as Joe Burrow is, and then you add to it by bringing in that passing game coordinator from, you know, from the NFL, Joe Brady, I'm really excited to see something that, you know, maybe LSU fans aren't as used to seeing it, you know, spreading out that offense and really, I mean, just having explosive plays almost, you know. So I'm really excited about it. And I think that, you know, on the defensive side of things, I feel like we're really stacked. I mean, I'm really excited about that secondary still. I mean, even taking big losses with Devin White and Greedy Williams, I'm really excited about Grant Delpit. I mean, that dude, he really reminds me of Jamal Adams. So I'm really excited to be able to watch him again this year. And also, you know, Christian Fulton and Caleb Von Chassau and just, I mean, all those guys who I really feel like are going to make a huge impact this year. So I feel like LSU, I feel like they're going to be in the same kind of realm as they were last season of consistently staying in the top 10. I mean, that's what I expect of them. I expect them to be even better than they were last year. And so, I mean, I'm expecting another New Year's Six Bowl, hopefully this year. Obviously, you know, let's hope for a college football playoff game.
I love it. And Madeline, I was just going to ask your prediction for the Saints, but let's have a little fun with it. I know that you originally hail from the great city of Houma, Louisiana. So I ask you this. Bigger down the bayou, LSU or the Saints, or is that even a question that you can answer?
Oh, gosh. I think for, I mean, there's no question. LSU is the number one college team in Houma. And obviously the Saints are number one NFL team in Houma. When it comes to who's bigger, oh my goodness, I've never been asked that.
It's a tie.
I would probably say, I'd probably say LSU. Just because I think, you know, a lot of people from that Houma area, I mean, Coach O is from South Lafourche, which is really close to Houma. So I feel like more people are kind of resonating with LSU right now from that area. They want to see Coach O do well. So I would say LSU. I may be completely wrong, but that's just my perspective on that.
I don't think there was going to be a wrong answer possible there. Both great options. Madeline, this was fun. Yes. Let the people know when they can see you next on KLFY TV 10.
Yes. So coming up next, I mean, we're having Cajun Nation. This Sunday, we're actually going to talk to Luke Lawton, who has created this helmet. George Faust talked to him. He's created this helmet that, you know, if the air pressure gets too low, it actually, you know, there's a light on it that switches colors. So you'll have to come out, you know, the football player will have to come out until he gets more air put in his helmet. It's just really revolutionary technology for a football helmet. So George Faust will have a little bit of that on tonight, talking to Luke. And then also this Sunday is my Beyond the Jersey segment, which I've kind of been doing. It's just kind of showcasing inspiring athletes across Acadiana. There was actually this team from Abbeville, two softball teams who traveled all the way to New Mexico, and they actually won this tournament, won first place in this New Mexico tournament. So they're really just bringing the talent of Acadiana there, and they got rings and everything, and it's the second year in a row that they've done that. And, yeah, I mean, we're going to be talking some Saints here pretty soon. I know training camp starts tomorrow, and I know Sean Payton's talking tonight. So we'll have some Saints coverage as well. Exciting time. Football season's almost here.
Yeah, and you got everybody excited. We'll make sure to tune in. Luke Lawton, a former SDM Cougar and McNeese State Cowboy. You can learn more about him tonight and his latest venture, and then Beyond the Jersey over the weekend. Madeline, thanks for doing this. A lot of fun. Hope to do it again soon.
Yes, we'll do it again soon. Thanks, Ben.
Madeline Adams, KLFY TV 10. Love to get new voices on the show, especially when they're enthusiastic. Can LSU outdo last season? Can the Cajuns get back to the conference title game and win it? We'll see. She's got some confidence in those matters. You got to go out in the field and do it now. But that really was great to have her on the program. All right, we're going to take a quick recess. When we return, let's get back to your phone calls. We're getting a lot of social media interaction. The Saints' success this season depends most on, and you fill in the blank for us. Call us up. We'll put you in the queue, and we'll get right to you. 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, talking shop from the Taproom River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Football season can't come fast enough. Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to get you by.
It's pretty darn close, football season, as we creep up on 5 o'clock. You're listening to Bumper Sports, and suddenly we're at a place that's got a lot of life to it. Yeah, not even 5 o'clock yet in the Taproom River Ranch, jumping on a Thursday. Join us while you can, and on the way, we appreciate you continuing to listen here on 103.7 The Game. I think we opened up a good can of worms, right? Not a controversial kind, just the fun kind, the kind that leads the conversation. And we're getting a lot of that right now, in particular on Facebook. So let me give you the drop there, and we'll open the phone lines back up as well. 706-0111. The topic du jour, your sink or swim, fill in the blank of the day. The Saints' success this season depends most on, and then you fill in the blank. Here's what we've got on the 103.7 The Game Facebook page. Zach W., O-line, especially center. It's a great one. We saw the Saints go out and get the young man from Texas A&M, and they're hoping immediately that he can step in and fill a void that was created. Oh, man, CD. A guy's been retired for less than 6 months, and I'm doing my best to forget his name. The cat that they traded Jimmy Graham for.
Max Unger.
Starting center. Thank you so much. And so now that he is out of the mix, the Saints are going to have to replace him with either the rookie Mack out of Texas A&M, or they'll have to go down the line maybe to someone like Will Clapp, a second-year player out of LSU, Cameron Tom from the Baton Rouge area, and a young player from Southern Miss. And so, yeah, suddenly they've got an issue there. So that's a good one from Zach W. O-line, especially center. Jude I., referee productivity. Ding, ding, ding. I knew that was coming. No chance that train was going to be late. I said you would either be flogged or you would receive a beer on the house here at the Taproom River Ranch. Judai has not shown up, so he's not taking his chances on that one. But that's okay. You can find me at the Taproom between now and 7 on air. Probably for a while after as well. So come and find out which it'll be for you. Robert B. voted defense. If they kick their game up just a little, it will be Super Bowl time again. I don't disagree with that in the slightest. I think that defense, which was also one of Frank's submissions, he called in. How could it not be toward the top of the list? There are several ways to lighten the load of Drew Brees. Several. One, a productive running game. And it's going to have to go beyond Alvin Kamara in life after Mark Ingram. Two, a receiving tight end to take some of the pressure off of Michael Thomas. And Ron called and gave us that one. I agree with him. But then a defense that can help the Saints play more ball control when they want to. Allow the Saints to do things that they kind of need to do and would like to do, not that they have to do. So I'm right there with that one from Robert. And coming in the last minute, Jamie G on Facebook, O and D lines, more so the O line. If they aren't successful, Brees and Kamara won't be successful. I agree with that. In some ways, Michael Thomas is going to be successful no matter what. I said it yesterday. I think 13 in black and gold gets the best body positioning of anyone in the game. And I think he might have the strongest hands in the game. Might call that the Reggie Wayne Memorial Award. Look, I didn't say best hands. That would be the Chris Carter Memorial Award. I said strongest hands. Because the way that Mike Thomas attacks the football, it hits the mitts, and it just doesn't really ever leave them. It's remarkable. It's like a Venus flytrap with those things. So for me, I think Mike Thomas, he doesn't need the O-line to give Brees 3 1,000s for him to get open, for him to get clearance, and for him to pick up 7 to 13 yards. It's like stealing. But it's a little different, I have to agree, for the running backs, in particular Alvin Kamara, if the O-line isn't really good, if not even elite. So let's take another one. We're going to go out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Keith, what's your vote?
A third thing I'm going to add to the list, how about the receiving core? Can we develop some other pass catchers to be a legitimate threat? Can Kirkwood step up and be that number two option? I think he showed some promise because everyone on the schedule, they're going to do their best. They're going to throw the kitchen sink and the bucket at Michael Thomas to try to take away everything he does best. So you can see a one side of the field being taken away wherever Michael goes. So Kirkwood, can you step up and be that number two? Jared Cook is going to do a lot in the middle of the field, but we need some receivers to make plays also.
I'm with you. And we're going to go down the line of some of those options. Kirkwood certainly is one of them. Keith, thanks for the dial.
Got it, man.
And let me correct myself from earlier. Clinton, you're too busy doing a bang-up job of playing No Scrubs intro music like you did earlier this hour. You're too busy doing all the social media stuff. You're letting me just go unchecked. I just called the Saints rookie center, Mac. Well, I guess that's kind of right. It's Eric McCoy. So, yeah, Eric McCoy from Texas A&M. We'll see if he can't slot in immediately. But let's talk other receivers. Because I'm curious what happens with the guy that was drafted last year by the New Orleans Saints that plays that position. I'm interested to know how quickly that Tre'Quan Smith can jump up and become a force. Nobody's expecting him to blossom as quickly as Mike Thomas did coming out of Ohio State. But how quickly can he come of age? And let us not forget about Ted Ginn Jr., maybe the most forgotten man on this team, who I think is going to make a big impact. All right, we'll take one more. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline is Dusty. How are you, Dusty?
What's going on, brother love? Long time no talk. But listen, our success don't depend on just one singular motion. We got all the bulls in the wood that we need. Our success is going to depend on our spirit. How are we going to come out, not just the players, but as fans? Are we going to come out like the 13 through 16 Saints, or are we going to come back like the old 9 Saints when we added that one piece to the puzzle and took it all away?
I like that. And all of a sudden, you can have a no-fly zone in the dome where you can't hear a darn thing either. That's a good one, Dusty. Thank you. I thought for a second there he was going to give us a little bit of the one team, one heartbeat from Coach O. Or maybe the Matt Deggs, the one team, one vision. It's all good stuff. CD, we got to wind this thing down with one final word.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Rollins-ism. Yeah, I made one up today, and it's kind of in the spirit of a robism. Earlier today, Frank referred to Alvin Kamara and said that he is slippery like boiled spaghetti. And if that's not a Lynn Rollinsism, I don't know what is. That's the final word of the hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station, your final stop to fill the stomach and tank when you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're coming right back with Ken Trahan talking more Saints. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love in the midst of pretty darn good crowd on a Thursday at the Taproom. Joined, as always, over the course of the next 2 hours by the famous Clint D. Inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Two big storylines with teams we frequent today. Michael Thomas did not report to camp with the rest of the Saints. Still seeking a new deal. Reports that the sides might be within $2 to $3 million a year of one another, but they're not there yet, and it appears that number 13 will stay away until they are. I'll ask our next guest in about a minute how big of a deal that is, or maybe it isn't. Also, Houston Astros news. Tyler White has been traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. The first baseman headed west, and in return, get this, a double-A right-handed pitching prospect, Andre Scrub. Unfortunate name. White was designated for assignment last week to clear the way for Jose Urquidy. And according to our buddy Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle, it is expected that next week Tony Kemp will be designated for assignment and Carlos Correa will be called up from the injured list. So a couple of homegrown and raised Houston Astros, Tyler White now, and probably Tony Kemp Jr. next week, going to be gone pecan from the franchise. All right, enough of that. Let's clear the way for one of our favorite guests. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Ken Trahan, Crescent City Sports, and the New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame Museum Board. How are you, Ken?
Hey, doing fine, Ben. Good to have you.
Hey, look, the news of the day with Mike Thomas, I think it was probably expected. Is it big news in your opinion? Can they find a way to clear this hurdle before the next few weeks come and go?
Well, you would hope so. I mean, it's big news because he's such a significant player. I don't think it's a major distraction yet. I think it's a minor distraction at this point, but certainly if it lingers, it can become a major distraction. It's obvious that if you read between the lines and you see everything that's been reported and by the people that have reported it, that it's got to be pretty accurate, that the Saints made him a pretty substantive offer in the vicinity of $18 million annually, and that they're seeking around $22 million. Well, common sense tells you the twain shall meet somewhere in between, which would put him at about $20 million and make him the highest paid receiver in the league. Makes sense to me. You would think that that would happen at some point, preferably sooner rather than later. But, you know, there's a lot more to it, obviously. And, you know, and the NFL being as it is, and the fact that you've got some other key players whose contracts will come up soon, and you're not totally sure about the distribution of the money that's being paid to Drew Brees yet beyond this year, it puts it all in a little bit of a question. But you have to be proactive. You have to have a plan. And my guess is, given the productivity of the player, the age that he's at, and his competitive nature, that ultimately the Saints will pay him.
So glad, Ken, that you mentioned Breeze and maybe some uncertainty in how long his tenure will last. How much do you think that this front office and the organization is starting to consider life after Breeze when they make deals like this one with Thomas?
Well, I think they certainly are considering it because, look, if he's not here the following season in 2020, then realistically, you know, where are you in the echelon of NFL teams? I don't think it's a total rebuild because the Saints have some good young players. They have a nice nucleus of players, so they'll still be competitive, but without an elite quarterback, common sense tells you you probably won't be, you know, that team at the top of the heap, which you are right now amongst about four or five others. So if you're thinking in those terms, well, then certainly you would say to yourself, do I want to spend $20 million a year on a wide receiver with an average quarterback and a team that's not going to be a serious threat to win at all? These are all questions that linger. I think in a perfect world, you know, they're thinking, well, even beyond Breeze, we can be a Super Bowl contender. And I'm not telling you that that isn't possible. Anything is, but the odds are less likely. Now, Breeze is a transcendent player. These guys don't come around very often. He's one of the best in the history of the NFL. To have done it as well as he has for such an elongated period of time speaks volumes about just how elite he is. So, look, beyond Drew Breeze, all bets are off, and I think that certainly has to be something that they've taken into consideration with regard to paying a guy like Michael Thomas.
We're talking Saints football with Ken Trahan on 103.7 The Game. Ken, your early impressions of rookie center Eric McCoy out of Texas A&M, I would have to imagine the odds-on favorite to take over at center.
Yeah, he's working with the same people and have really prepared a guy like Tavon Armstead for the league and Andrus Peete. So he's getting really good instruction and preparation for what he's about to endure. The early take on him is that he's a smart guy, very introverted in terms of his ability to comprehend, take things in, and then translate them, but on the field, extroverted. He's an aggressive guy that can do the things you want him to do. He's quick. You know, he has the ability to run block. He's not a road grader per se, but he can block the run. And in pass protection, you know, the concern about him when you read all the draft analysis was he doesn't have very long arms. All I know is in college, when he was at least head-to-head with anybody, he gave up one sack the whole time at A&M. So, and by the way, they played good competition last time I checked. So as a result, look, there's a lot to like there. And yet, you know, the Saints do have other options. Nick Easton is a veteran player who could play center when they signed. And then they've got Cameron Tom of Catholic High and Baton Rouge who did a decent job when given a chance last year. And let's not forget Will Clapp, who, of course, played the position at LSU and is a swing guy, too. So they have some options there, but I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, they want to give McCoy a chance to win the job outright. If he shows well in training camp and in the preseason, I think he will get the job. If there's any question at all, they don't have to force him in there immediately.
Ken, paint a picture, if you don't mind, for our listeners, of how the Saints replace Sheldon Rankins, who's going to be in there with that battle, and how they kind of divide that pie.
Well, of course, you know, they signed Malcolm Brown, you know, who played for the Patriots. He's a space eater. He's a big guy. And obviously that's a guy that you want inside to occupy blocks. I don't think you're going to get the kind of pass rush threat that Rankins was. He was becoming really, really good in that area for a guy that plays inside because maybe his biggest asset was his quickness. So that part of it, I think, will probably be hard to replace. David Onyemata really took major steps forward last year, played well. He'll be suspended for the first game of the year, but he is a player that can play, and they like him. Taylor Stallworth is a guy that played snaps last year. They're counting on him to be that guy again this year. You can't discount Cam Jordan moving inside to play some as well, and they've moved him around over time, but now maybe more so with Rankins being absent. And then, of course, there's the whole wild card in this, and that is, you know, when will Rankins be able to come back? You know, an Achilles injury, you know, typically speaking, you're thinking 9 months to a year. He got hurt in the playoffs last year, so you're thinking January, and, you know, the regular season starts in September, so you can do the math in terms of, you know, when he might be well. If you're thinking, you know, 9 months, you're thinking October. If you're thinking a year, you're thinking December. So it really does depend. We saw Alex Okafor come back from an Achilles injury, not only quickly, but he came back and played very solidly for this team last year. So I know that's what they're hoping happens, of course, you can't count on them initially, and they're not going to tell you about injuries, about how a guy is coming along. That's not their policy. But we're just going to have to wait to see on that. They do have some other options. And then, of course, along the defensive line as a whole, they've got Trey Hendrickson, who's played solidly, and they kind of like him, and they signed Ziggy Wood yesterday. So they've got some other options. And, of course, we all know Marcus Davenport is an investment, who's going into his second year, whom they're hoping will have a breakout season if he can stay healthy. So they do have some nice options up front on defense, but certainly replacing Rankins will be Exhibit A because he was really becoming an outstanding player.
Coming down the stretch with Ken Trahan, owner, CEO, CrescentCitySports.com. How about an overview of the secondary? They were awfully bad for the first two or three games of the season and then did a bit of a 180. Are they somewhere in between this year, or can they be consistently excellent?
It sounds strange to say this, but it's probably the strength of their defense, if not the strength of their team. It's amazing that we're saying that, given where they've been previously. But Patrick Robinson returns, proven NFL player, good pedigree, and he's back. P.J. Williams emerged last year as a good player. Now, we're waiting on word of any potential suspension because he had an off-season incident with a DUI. But he really played well last year. Eli Apple came in and did a solid job. Marshawn Lattimore is still one of the better corners in the league. And then, of course, you still got other guys that have played in this league extensively, and Ken Crawley and Justin Hardy that are behind those guys. And the wild card is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who, you know, is a guy that at Florida was a heck of a player. They made an investment in him in a draft, and he's versatile enough to play as a corner or a safety. And I think he's got that ability to play and play extremely well in this league. So that's a whole bunch of corners. And then Gardner can play safety too. And then you're talking about Chris Banjo as a solid backup at safety. They drafted Saquon Hampton, who is a good-looking player and might be a real bargain in the draft from Rutgers. And then, of course, you got Von Bell, who improved significantly last year, and Marcus Williams coming back as starters. So suddenly the secondary looks like a real strength of this team. And obviously, if you've got a secondary that can play and you got guys that can play man coverage, it frees you up to blitz more. And obviously, that creates more havoc for any offense.
And before we let you go, Ken, I haven't asked you yet about this further split that we have in Louisiana high school football and this idea that the private schools will not play in the dome this year. Your 2 cents on that.
Well, they're still trying to do that. It's still possible that they will play in the dome. I was with some people yesterday, and the select schools had a meeting most recently in New Orleans at Brother Martin. They have a big meeting, of course, coming up at Trillings Catholic on Monday, as you know. And there's still a reasonable chance that they can play their championship games in the Superdome. They've had conversations about it. It really ultimately comes down to cost as much as anything. If they don't play in the Superdome, it would be disappointing to me because I think kids deserve the very best, and that is the very best. At the same time, if they have an option to play at college facilities that are good facilities, then certainly that would be apropos. Bottom line is I think the select schools have every right to do what they're doing. I commend them and, in fact, compliment them for taking the action they've taken and forming this select school association within the LHSA because basically they've gotten the short end of the stick. If you want to be more crude about it, they've gotten screwed. They get the worst times by far in all the championships, and that's an absolute fact. They get the worst dates and the worst times where you can't draw people and people can't make the games. And, of course, they're a minority, and they've been treated that way. And, you know, I can't stand the split. I never could. I think it's a terrible thing. I think it sends a horrendous message to the children of this state that you can't work together and get people to cooperate and compete. And if anybody asked the kids if they wanted to compete with each other, I guarantee you the kid at Acadiana wants to compete with the kid, you know, at St. Thomas More, for instance, you know, and while they're in different classes, just an example. I guarantee you that's true. But nobody asked the kid. And by the way, the Coaches Association is polling coaches now to ask them about whether they would support getting back together. And as I understand it, that so far the response has been pretty good. And they're going to do the same with athletic directors. The point being this, that sometimes there's a disconnect between coaches, ADs, and principals about what these schools' policies are. And I think ultimately, if you get coaches and ADs to say, we prefer to be back together, it might put some pressure on some of these principals who have voted otherwise. I truly hope that's the case because I don't think we have real state championships right now. I really don't. You know, I just call them, you know, 1A champ or 5A champ or Division II champ because they haven't competed with everyone in their class to do that. So, and then the other hypocrisy of it is they play each other during the regular season in district play, but I'm not going to play you in the playoffs, right? So, I mean, the whole thing's broken to me personally. I don't like it. I understand and respect people's opinions that do, but I'd love to see something happen in the near future that might change it.
I couldn't agree with you anymore. Ken, so well said, and people who listen to this program know I believe that Mike Boyer knows exactly what he's been doing all along with all
sure
this.
Does.
I think he's splitting them apart so it'll come back together, to your point.
No doubt. Mike's done a great job. He's been front and center in this, and I commend him for everything that he's done. And I hope that and now these schools are getting their act together on the select side, and they understand that they have some power. Let me tell you something. I'm involved with the All-State Sugar Bowl as well, and they sponsor every event in the state and the LHSAA. And if there's any further split in this organization, they can pretty much forget about that sponsorship. Bottom line is All-State Sugar Bowl is the biggest entity there is in the state. They sponsor the LHSAA. And by the way, virtually every member, if not every single member of their executive board, is a private school graduate. Keep that in mind.
There you go. Ken, I know we took you for a while today. Thanks for the time. Look forward to catching up soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Ken Trahan, basically with a public service announcement. That was awesome. You come for the Saints, and then you get the real scoop on what's coming next with high school athletics in this state that we inhabit. Let's come back in and discuss that. I don't think we should let that go. Bumper to Bumper Sports, having fun at the Tap Room River Ranch, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Little scorched earth there. That was straight fire from Kid Trahan. I don't give a damn what side of the basin you're on. Trahan, Trahan, it was just good. Is exactly what it was. So, wow. We're going to have to run some of that interview back, I believe, later in this hour when we can. What I know is this. Bumper to Bumper Sports back with you on 103.7 The Game. Eric Mouton will be with us at 5:45. And Blaine Viator at 6 o'clock. We'll be talking some high school football then. Probably a little public and a little private. CD. Heard you in my ears. We were coming back in, but didn't quite make heads or tails. What you got, brother?
Oh, no, we got it ready to go with Ken Trahan.
Oh, okay. Ken, listen to me. Clint is letting me know that we've got that audio cut out. I think what we're going to do is this. You probably just heard it. If you just got in the car, you're like, what's the guy talking about? Ken Trahan, CrescentCitySports.com, joined us. About 80% Saints talk. And then I threw a little bit of a lifeline out there on the possibility of schools not playing in the Dome this coming December on the select side. I'll paraphrase a little bit, and then later this hour, if we have to in the 6 o'clock hour, I promise that we will run some of that back. It was just too good. But paraphrasing, Ken said there's already been one meeting in New Orleans, and he's right. There is one coming up Monday at Turlings Catholic, and the select schools are going to, according to what I was told 2 weeks back by Louis Cook over at Notre Dame, they're going to meet, and on the table is, are we playing our championships at one unified location, or are we going to go through with this whole rigmarole where highest seed gets to choose the home field? Of course, that home field will still have to be approved and sanctioned by the LHSAA, but that's what I was told is on the table. And Louis Cook then said that the location, the school that was trying to put its name out there the most is Southeastern in Hammond. Doesn't mean that was going to happen, but just that, from what I would interpret, they wanted it to be known that they'd be happy to host a combination of football, boys, girls, basketball. And yeah, I'm sure that Hammond would take a hometown discount, or maybe give a hometown discount, for all those championships to occur there. That's what Louis told me a couple weeks back. Ken Trahan, about 7 or 8 minutes ago, said, it's still on the table for the select schools in football to play inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know that until he said it a couple of minutes ago. So that was incredible. And a guy that has documented high school sports in this state for a generation plus, that knows the New Orleans Catholic League probably as thoroughly as anyone this side of my guy Ed Daniels. He doesn't consider what he's watching right now to be real state championships. And I'll speak from a guy who walks in the shoes of somebody who's called games, whether it's LCA, St. Thomas More. On the private side, I've called championship games, basketball, football, for those schools respectively in different ways, shapes, and forms. I have called a Carrancrow basketball state title game. You hate to say that one means any more or less than the other, but I think we all can recognize that it would mean the most if they all played each other. It is, to Ken's point, completely asinine. I'll just give an example that I could call a Carrancrow St. Thomas More regular season football game, and they can't even cross paths in the playoffs. That is just some of the dumbest. It really is. It's the dumbest rhetoric. This state's not big enough to support what we're doing right now. So I just always appreciate it when somebody with the platform like Ken Trahan just tells it like it is. And he doesn't try to pander to people who may be listening that don't agree with him. He just tells it like it is. He says, I respect you and I understand your side if you're on the other side of the fence, but, you know, you're wrong. Respect you, you're just wrong. So for my two cents, that was outstanding. As you know, we got to throw some shades. We'll do that on the other side of this break, and it'll have nothing to do with some of that conversation with Ken Trahan. In fact, it's got everything to do with Earl Thomas unloading, Steve Kerr getting a little something off of his chest. So we'll run that your way, and then we'll kick back some of the Ken Trahan sound before Eric Mouton joins us, former Raging Cajun basketball player, now the head coach at Ascension Episcopal. We'll have Eric Mouton aboard at 5:45. So still so much more to do on a Thursday. But don't forget, they're always doing great things here at the Tap Room, River Ranch, on Thursdays and Saturdays. Both nights, you've got live music, 8 to 11, with no cover charge. Just a great time. Tonight, it'll be Jones and Hollers taking the stage. And then Saturday, as part of the continuing Saturday Summer Music Series, going on through the month of August, it'll be Carl Sanjay laying down sound. Always a great time to come to the Tap Room, but those are two really, really good examples. When you come, make sure that you check out some of the newest beers that they've got on draft. Make sure you get into the wings with the Schwing sauce. Do the right thing. Get the Schwing sauce. And they've always got a flatbread of the month. It's no different in July. Come and check it out when you get a chance. All right, Ben Love here at the Tap Room. The famous Clint D joining from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. And we'll be right back in it to win it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Just about 34 minutes after 5 o'clock, right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports. We are live at the Tap Room River Ranch. Great crowd as we angle towards 6 o'clock on 103.7 The Game. I don't want to waste any time. We got a lot to do in this segment. A lot of great sound for you. So let me issue your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally at Acadiana that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. You're going to fall in love with the standing seam metal awnings, the retractable shades and screens, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their management top down, starting with Mark. He and I just talked the other day. They're sitting down with so many people, getting an idea of what their vision is, helping them figure out a vision, and then fulfilling it. And they can do that for you before the Saints go marching in toward the Super Bowl. But you better hurry to their website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
My words are good. Actual sound from players and coaches, even better. CD, he's got us covered. Earl Thomas, in the last 24 hours, he's now a Baltimore Raven. He looks back on the end of his tenure with the Seattle Seahawks and one of the founding members of the Legion of Boom. He dropped the boom on Pete Carroll. You'll remember, as he broke his leg in October, a guy that didn't hold out like Le'Veon Bell, he gave the one-finger salute to his own sideline as he was carted off. But as he said in this interview, he wasn't giving it to the players. He was giving it to his head coach, Pete Carroll.
I don't regret my decision. If my teammates felt like it was towards them, I regret that part. But I don't regret doing it to Pete.
Wow. That's not just shade. I mean, that man, I feel like you can hear it, feels that down to his core. And so Earl Thomas flipping the bird to Pete Carroll. And to me, that's interesting. It's the front office, right? It's ownership and upper management that's not going to chill out the extra bucks. But I guess the case can be made that Pete Carroll wanted him out there on the field. But the one-gun salute to Pete Carroll, and there are no regrets. A little more shade. Steve Kerr, in a recent interview, I'll let him tell you, but he disagrees in a big way with what Anthony Davis did to force his way out of New Orleans and specifically to play with LeBron in L.A.
To me, what I'm not even talking about in the offseason, if a team like Oklahoma City decides to go a new direction and they sort of mutually decide to part ways with Russell, and Russell wants to move on. You know, to me, that's a different deal. I'm talking more about the Anthony Davis situation, you know, where a guy's perfectly healthy and got a couple years left on his deal and says, I want to leave.
Yeah.
I think that's a real problem that the league has to address, that the players have to be careful with. To me, when you sign on that dotted line, you owe your effort and your play to that team, to that city, to the fans. And then it's completely your right to leave as a free agent. But if you sign the contract, then you should be bound to that contract. Yeah, if you come to an agreement with the team that, hey, it's probably best, it's time for us to part ways, that's one thing. But, the Davis stuff was really kind of groundbreaking, I think, and hopefully not a trend because it's bad for the league.
So incredibly well-spoken and intelligent, and I agree with everything he said. Here's the flip side of that, and there was a lot of luck that went into it, obviously, but the Pels came out the other side probably better for it. Zion Williamson, Jackson Hayes, J.J. Redick. I mean, they've been able to go out and build a team that has future first-round draft picks ahead of it, so it went well for New Orleans, but I think there are a lot of ways in which it could have gone more like what OKC endured. Still, Earl Thomas, Steve Kerr, take a bow.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Here's what we'll do, Clint, as I know we're under the gun and we need to get to a break so we can bring on Eric Mouton. We've got two clips from our 5 o'clock interview with Ken Trahan. One that's a little lengthier about the state of the split and the further split in high school football, the lack of private schools in the Dome potentially in early December. We're not going to have time for that one in this segment. Let's play cut two, and you'll hear me start this cut. And I say, I think Mike Boyer over at Tony Skathic knows exactly what he was doing. And you're going to hear Ken, I think, agree and then take the baton and run even further with it. I believe that Mike Boyer knows exactly what he's been doing all along with all
sure
this. I think he's splitting them apart so it'll come back together, to your point.
No doubt. Mike's done a great job. He's been front and center in this, and I commend him for everything that he's done. And I hope that and now these schools are getting their act together on the select side, and they understand that they have some power. Now, let me tell you something. I'm involved with the All-State Sugar Bowl as well. And they sponsor every event in the state and the LHSAA. And if there's any further split in this organization, they can pretty much forget about that sponsorship. Bottom line is Allstate Sugar Bowl is the biggest entity there is in the state. They sponsor the LHSA, and by the way, virtually every member, if not every single member of their executive board, is a private school graduate. Keep that in mind.
I don't know how more plainly that can be put. This guy is a member of the board of the Allstate Sugar Bowl. Every member of it graduated from a private school in Louisiana. And as Mike said earlier, or excuse me, as Ken said earlier, these private schools have been outnumbered and treated kind of as the minority in this situation. And so it's really not a surprise that we got to this point. I feel quite certain there are a number of people listening to me right now that back the public school side of this and think that this is all just blowhard stuff. And that's fine. Kind of like Ken, I guess. I'll take that party line. I'll respect your ability to feel that way. I just want us back together. That's where I'm coming from in all this. And I think what Ken had to say was incredibly powerful. Wanted to run some of it back while we had time. Speaking of time, I'm out of it right now. When we return, a former STM Cougar and UL Raging Cajun on the hardwood these days, among the many hats that he wears, he is the head basketball coach at Ascension Episcopal, Eric Mouton. When we come back, you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. You may ask yourself, what is a Blue Gator? I don't know, but our next guest has told me time and again that there is only one of them. That's right. Bumper to Bumper Sports back with you on 103.7 The Game. Let's go find our man aboard the Hardco Equipment Hotline. Head basketball coach, AD of those one and only Blue Gators of Ascension Episcopal, Eric Mouton. How are you, coach?
Doing good, Ben. How you doing today?
Hey, life is good over here. How are things so far with your summer? And talk to us about basketball and what you've been involved with so far over this summer.
Man, we're in the home stretch. You know, we're looking forward to a little, everybody's looking forward to a little high school football. You know, it's going to be right around the corner, and Blue Gators have been out there working hard all summer in the weight room getting ready for a little Blue Gator football. But before that, we've got a little Blue Gator basketball next week, having a camp only in the afternoon next week, Ben. We're going to start at 12:30, and instead of being at our Youngsville campus, we're going to be at our downtown campus extension, downtown Lafayette, right there in South Campus. And we're doing great pre-K through 4 all the way up to 8th grade. And we do have walk-ups. We're going to take those walk-ups starting at 12 o'clock on Monday, 5 days. And they can go to drfundamentals.com. That's drfundamentals.com for all the information. There is online registration. You know we'll take walk-ups on Monday.
There you go. You got a camp at the Lafayette campus of Ascension Episcopal beginning Monday. Coach, one of the things I wanted to get, I guess, your take on, and you've had a son go through this, you've had players go through this, your thoughts on AAU basketball, maybe what this time of year means to kids at that level in high school. Is the system good the way it is? How would you like to see it change? Your 2 cents.
No, I think the system is fine. I think you got to get on a team that is going to go play in these big tournaments so you can play in front of the college coaches and get some recognition and play in front of some of these sites that rank kids. You know, it's not all about ranking. It's more about development and what you can do for a team if you're going to be able to play at the next level. But for sure, you got to be able to play in front of those coaches. And that's what AAU does. It does provide you with that opportunity. So if you can get on a good team that's going to go play in a lot of these very good tournaments, and there's a lot of tournaments around Louisiana to go play in. Obviously, if you're an elite player, you'll get on the AAU circuit with the Under Armour or Adidas, and you play in the big time tournaments. There's a lot of kids out there that have the talent to play at the next level, and playing AAU in the spring, you know, only helps your game. You know, you get that game exposure, the game experience that you need, and you also get to play in front of some college coaches. Now, they've changed the rules here and there over the last few years, but For the most part, if you can find a good team, a good quality team, there's a lot of NBA players now that have teams. So if you can get on with a good team and get out there and play in front of some college coaches, it can open up some doors for you.
Talking with Eric Mouton of Ascension Episcopal on 103.7 The Game. And as you kind of broke the last time that we talked on the air, your son Eli going to play for Byron Starks over at LSU Eunice. Give our listeners a bit of a taste of what that life is like. We talk a lot about that program specifically, Coach, but really JUCO baseball. For the JUCO basketball route, what's it trying to prepare you for, and I guess what's that route like?
Well, actually, JUCO is not a bad option for a lot of kids. You know, you can go over there and, again, you can get some exposure for the next level, and there's a lot of opportunities after junior college, whether it's Division II, NAIA, or obviously if you have the talent, you can go D1. But it does allow you to get that exposure to play in front of more coaches and also to play in a very good league. You know, a lot of them that don't have grades will go junior college, but there's a lot of talent out there, and kids just choose to do that instead of going to a four-year school right away. You can work on your game. You can get better. You can even leave those places with an associate's degree. You can get a two-year degree and then maybe get an opportunity to go to the next level. But there's a lot of opportunities in Louisiana with LSUE, LSUA. You know, obviously there's D1 schools here, but there's also some great up in Bossier, Paris Community College, a lot of great opportunities for kids that want to go for 2 years and want to work on their game and then maybe get an opportunity to go to a four-year school after that.
I want to talk to you about one of your former players and a guy that was dynamite on the football field as well, Ronald LeBlanc, a wide receiver, and now he's going to be playing for Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns. So give our listeners a little bit of a taste of what he's been through since he left campus in Youngsville and what he might be able to do for the team.
Yeah, Ronald LeBlanc is a heck of an athlete, a big-time wide receiver that did go up to Coffeyville, Kansas. He had a couple of Division I offers, but he decided to go the JUCO route. You know, he got his grades in order. He had a good 2 years over there, and, you know, he's fortunate enough and took care of the business in the classroom that Coach Napier, and you know what he's got that program doing right now. And they're going to add Ronald LeBlanc. Now, when you're a walk-on, you really got to pay your dues. You got to earn your spot. You know, scholarship guys a lot of times will come in and have those starting spots or even the backup spots. But if you're a walk-on and you've got talent like Ronald LeBlanc, you know, he runs well. He has great hands. He's put on some weight so he can get out there and block and do the things that they need Division I wide receivers to do. So, you know, I'm proud of Ronald. He took care of business at the junior college level and then Coach Napier, and it helped having a little contact there. Coach Mike Desimo obviously was our head coach for years, and I think now he's either the running back coach or the wide receivers coach over there. And, you know, he knows Ronald personally and took a chance on him to bring him in as a walk-on, and down the road he might be able to help this program.
My man, you are just taking the words and topics right out of my mouth. I wanted to go there next, and obviously Matt Desimo is still your head football coach, but how much of a legend is Mike Desimo? We see what he's doing as a recruiter. Everybody remembers him as a player. But when he came through the turnstiles at Ascension Episcopal, what was that like?
Well, he from day one, you know, you can just tell he was a special guy and a special coach. And every one of those kids just bought in. You know, we had a rough year the year before we hired him, and we were able to get him in the spring. So he was able to come at midterm from Catholic High when we hired him. And everybody, from the day he stepped on that campus, everybody just bought into what he was selling. And, you know, he's a leader of these guys and wanted to make sure that they were not just good football players, but good young men as they were growing up. And he took us to the top right away. You know, we were able to play for a state championship the year after he left. And Coach Matt will tell you that Coach Mike had just as much to do with that state championship that as Coach Matt did, because he left the program in such good shape and had a great opportunity to go with Coach Hud. And because he's the kind of guy he is, Coach Napier kept him around. It was one of his priorities to keep him around as a coach. So he took us where we needed to go. He got us started. Coach Matt is continuing that, and that was an easy transition to go from Mike to Matt, and all the kids just continued to work in that program, and that's why we're having the success that we're having.
Before we let you go, Coach Eric Mouton has been our guest. Let the listeners know the website. I know you're going to take walk-up starting Monday at your camp, but the location where it'll take place and the website where they can register.
Yeah, we're going to be at the downtown campus, which is right off of University near the UL campus, Ascension downtown gym. We're going to start at 12:30, and we're going to put all of them in there, pre-K through 8th grade, boys and girls, so everybody can come out that wants to come out. You can go to drfundamentals.com, which will send you to the Ascension site where you can register. But if you want to just walk up on Monday, we'll take walk-up starting at 12 o'clock, and we're going to go 12:30 to 4:30, Ascension downtown. Competitions for prizes, 3-on-3, 5-on-5. Luke Burke is going to be kicking field goals. I mean, there's going to be a lot going on, so come on down and check out my camp next week in the afternoon, 5 days.
Hey, we'll have a little fun on the way out. We put you at the free throw line right now, Coach, and we say you got to make as many as you can out of 10. How many are you putting through?
It's going to be 10 out of 10, no doubt about it. 10 out of 10, put your money on me.
I love that. So if my life depends on it, we're putting him at the stripe. Coach, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but thanks for the interview.
I'm not sure how old you are, but you will continue living if I had to go 10 for 10, but you're good.
That's the best. Eric Mouton, and I'm 34. If I want to see 35, that's the man I need to put on the stripe. I love the confidence. And I think I've told this story on the show before. If not, I'll tell it again. I got about, 90 seconds before the end of this segment. Ricky Blanton was on this show Tuesday when I was over at Rufino's on the River. My connection and my tie to Ricky goes back to when I was about 11, maybe 12 years old. And at that point, he was still doing a lot of coaching and paid lessons, right? That type of thing. Also AAU, and I was involved in a little bit of both with Ricky and his program. And the first thing that Ricky said to an 11-year-old Ben Love is, "All right, get behind the three-point line. How many are you going to make? If I just feed you balls, pat it right to your chest. How many out of 10? I said, 7, without hesitation. He's like, "Really? It's like that. I'm 11 years old. Yeah, 7. 4 out of 10 later, Ricky said, "We're going to do it my way." "Yeah, coach, we're going to do it your way." So just shut up and listen. Ultimately, you'll start making more. Or just go to Eric Mouton. That'll probably help as well. Blaine Viator going to join us on the other side. Not going to ask him to shoot a damn thing from the free throw line. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Having fun at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll into hour number three. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. We've had fun for 2 hours. We got one more to go and excited about it. The famous Clint D with us in spirit, occasionally in voice, from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing, completing our three-man weave for the next 30 minutes. Blaine Viator does a great job. Color analyst, Karen Crow Football at Z1059. He and I will reprise that soon this fall. And when I say this fall, I mean 6 weeks from tomorrow. Does that sound about right?
Man, it's getting closer and closer by the day. I'm pretty fired up about it. I mean, we were talking about the Jamboree last week. I mean, that's, a little bit more than a month away. A lot of good matchups in and around the area. It's football, man. I woke up yesterday morning, and I stepped outside and let the dog out.
Yes.
And I didn't want to go back in. I said, man, I feel like I should be tailgating right now, headed to a football game, something. The weather was beautiful, had that crisp feeling in the air. It was great, Ben. I mean, that's what I was waiting for.
Suddenly all of Acadiana can envision you and your dog running laps in the yard. The weather's good.
Nah, folks know me. They know I'm not running laps in the yard, Ben. Let's get it real, man.
Old boy is frisky, and so is the dog. All right, it is just about football weather. Last week was fun, and so we decided to kind of run it back with a twist. And for those that didn't catch it, we went 1A through 5A, schools that we really don't talk as much as we should about. And you gave us a candidate from each classification. Got some good feedback on that. So we're going to do it again, but here's your twist. I want four teams And my only rule for you is they can't have played in the Final Four of their classification last year. So these four schools cannot have played in the semi or the final, meaning that they didn't quite get the ultimate prize last year. It means that they're probably still in the come-up. Give me four like that.
Well, look, I got four schools for you today. None of these schools made it out of the second round of the playoffs. Hell, one of the schools didn't even make it to the playoffs. But I'm excited about that school and what they got coming up. And I'm going to start with them, 5A Lafayette High, led by Rob Poole. We know how good of a coach he is. It's taking them some time. Look, they haven't won a football game in, what, like 12 games before last year, before they beat Patterson. They got it going. Much improved. They were much more competitive even in the losses last year. They went 3-7, but look, 3-7 is world better than the 0-10 season that they experienced a year prior. They opened up last year with STM,
yep,
St. Martin,
that ain't happening no more,
and Barr. So, I mean, look, the gauntlet was set up for him. You know, it was tough. I mean, we know how good STM was. St. Martinville went, what, undefeated in the regular season, and Barb was 8-2. So, look, just this year, they're going to get an easier start to the season. They're going to get Jenneret. They're going to get St. Martinville. Look, I know they're a year removed from going 10-0 in the regular season, but dropping down to 3A, we know they lost Travis Benjamin. They're going to be experiencing a little bit of growing pains going forward. Then they get to play Patterson, a team that they beat just a year ago. So already, you know, in the pre-district, it's going to be much better for them. The bad news, though, is
district?
Well, yeah, it's the same district, but they lose Corey Norman, man. The guy was just tremendous last year, over 1,200 yards. He was steady Eddie for him. They could hand the football off to him and watch him go to work. I mean, he was just so consistent. The good news is, though, they return their quarterback, Zan Sanye. He comes back, and look, he came in and was the starter after week three. He also plays some safety for him. He's going to have to replace Norman as well as two other wide receivers. So his job will be a little tougher this year. They can ask him to do a little bit more with Norman graduating, but he's capable. I mean, he's got some time under his belt now. I think Lafayette High, look, I'm not telling they're going to go 8-2 or 6-4, but they will be better, and they'll continue to improve and be more competitive. I think the world of Rob Poole. Great coach. He's got the program headed in the right direction.
If they can go from zero wins in 2017, three, as you mentioned a year ago, to five this year, not only would it be a remarkable accomplishment, but at 5-5 in that district with some of the power points they're going to accrue, that would probably be like the number 25 or 26 seed in the playoffs,
right? You can get in. I mean, look, just last year, and for instance, you want to talk about beating teams that you should beat and being competitive in those games. Look, they had Sulphur against the ropes last year. Sulphur's no slouch. You and I saw them in week one against Carrickville last year. They went 5-5. They ran that spread offense and put points up in bunches. So, you know, Lafayette High just being competitive and getting on their foot in the next, you know, moving a little bit forward.
I forgot about that Carrickville Sulphur game until you just mentioned it. That thing was wild.
Yeah, we were there for almost, what, like 8 hours?
Didn't we watch Dew Allen for Carrickville score offensively, defensively, on special teams, and author an interception? Or am I making that up?
No, he did. Look, and
that's the ultimate triple crown in football.
Triple crown with a little bit of a cherry on top with the interception. Look, he's that game was special. A lot of points were scored. A lot of people was down on Carrickville after that game because you saw Sulphur just move up and down the field on him. But that Carrickville defense got better and better. And Sulphur, they got a little bit worse, though.
Sulphur had a running back that was so good in that game that got injured shortly.
Correct. I was about to say he was an all-district performer at linebacker the season before. They moved him over to running back. He had 200-plus yards almost at halftime, Ben. I mean, the guy was tremendous for him. After they lost him, their season took a little bit of a hit.
Between the Sulphur and the overtime Turlings Catholic game, we had some crazy Karen Crow contests last year. So I drink enough beers, I forget these things, and we talk about them and jog the memory. All right, enough of that. You came with a list of four teams. Ben Love joined by Blaine Viator. We're hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch. Teams that are on the come up. They didn't make it to the Final Four of their classification last year, but we're expecting some bigger and better things this year. You gave us Lafayette High. Give me one more before the break.
This one, I think everybody's familiar with them. They were pretty good last year. Dealt with a lot of injuries, just playing a tough district. It's the Westgate Tigers.
Yeah.
Ryan Antoine's bunch, you know, they finished 6-4 last year, number 25 seed. I mean, look at their losses, though. Catholic High and New Iberia, we know how good they are. STM, Karen Crow, and then Captain Shreve came down here, and Westgate was up by like three scores in that ball game before they gave up the lead late. Look, they beat a good Plaquemine team in the first round of the playoffs last year
on
at
the road.
Their place.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a Plaquemine team loaded with athletes, can put up a lot of points. They were able to beat them, and then they lost at home to Bastrop in a very close game. But they battled injuries all year last year. I mean, they lost McKeevy Eddie. He played quarterback for him, was a great on the hardwood basketball as well. And also Tyrese Jackson battled injuries year, you know, in and out the entire year.
You keep saying names and you keep making me think of things, but I called a Westgate Karen Crow basketball game last year that went to double overtime. That was nuts as well.
So. Yeah. You're talking about Westgate basketball. That's what their football version is, right? It's like fast break, play really quick. Spread offense. They lose Tyrese Jackson.
Well, Coach Winston intimately involved with the football program as well. No, seriously. There is some serious tie-in.
You know, Tyrese Jackson signed with Colorado State. That shows you what kind of talent he was, Power 5 school. But the schedule gets a little tough for him this year. And keep in mind, though, playing that tough district already, STM, Karen Crow.
Don't they start with LCA?
They start with LCA. Then they play 5A Nish, Terra, and then Denham Springs. Oh, by the way, they're going to sprinkle in 4A powerhouse recently, Lakeshore, in the middle of district play.
You think it's hard to schedule people these days? I mean, seriously. Yeah. And look, we're talking about now a District 4, 4A where there are only five teams. And so that's why Karen Crow has scheduled Abbeville this year right in the middle of district play. Interesting to learn that Westgate's going to get Lakeshore. That team has been just rolling through the 4A playoffs in years past. Up until about that semi-level.
Right.
Up until basically Edna Carr time.
When I see Lakeshore, I just see them dominating with slot receivers on the inside, slinging the football all over the field. That's something Westgate's going to have to contend with. But look, in week 10, they get Karen Crow at home. That's going to be a huge game with the playoff pictures. They're loaded, though, with talent. Look, Kayshawn Boutte, the LSU commit, four-star. Just about everybody in the country offered the young man. He's a demon on the track as well, Ben. 200 meters, he's tough to beat.
I could have swore that we went to New Iberia 2 years ago, and they told us up and down it's pronounced booty. I could have sworn that. And every single time Shea Dixon comes on the show, he says, Kayshawn Boutte. You just said Boutte. I feel like a booty right now, man. I don't know which way to turn with this kid. I just know that he's fast as all get out.
Well, we'll stick with a lot of speed because McAlvin's son for them, top 50 kind of kid in the state, three-star. He can go, right? Kind of dance in the phone booth, gets up the field real quick. He's committed to Power 5 Kansas State. They're just loaded with talent. They also got a safety, Kadrian Callan. He's a state champion in the triple jump, basketball superstar
Kadrian
as well.
Kadrian Callan.
Yes.
Awesome on the
Stud.
Hardwood. Stud. Great shooter.
Stud. He has offers on the gridiron from La Tech, ULM, South Owl, as well as Southeastern. I mean, they're loaded, man.
So I like that. And so you've given me Lafayette High, maybe to get toward 500, make it into the playoffs. Westgate, a 25 seed that authored an upset. That's a team that in 4A, there's no reason Westgate can't go two or three rounds this year.
Well, they got to host a first-round game or it would be disappointment of a season. With all the talent they have in coming back and how special Kayshawn is, they have an opportunity with the power points with their schedule that they'll be able to move up pretty quickly.
We got to hit a break because I do want those other two schools. The final point I would make, when was Kayshawn at his best in that Karen Crow game that you and I called?
Late in that ball game.
Late when they had to put him at quarterback.
And he just kind of did what he wanted to do.
Oh, my heavenly Jesus. It was amazing. And look, at that point, Karen Crow's defense had some tired legs. But it was basically just snap it to him, and then he runs it.
He chucked it a couple times, too.
They couldn't tackle the kid.
No. He's slippery, man. Great hips.
Incredible.
He could be a hell of a defensive back as well.
There's no doubt in my mind. So LSU's going to be getting a great one in the class of 2020. All right, quick break. When we return, Blaine's got two more schools. You're listening to Bumper Sports, having fun at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Football season can't come fast enough. Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to get you by.
Yes, the return of me, Ben, him, Blaine, more Bumper to Bumper Sports, kicking it at the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. I have to say, before we get to your next two schools, something makes me very happy. My nostrils, my eyeballs. I just saw a plate of 12 wings with the schwing sauce brought out to a patron that's near enough to us to where I am smelling it right now. And I told him, it's not only the right decision, it's the only decision.
And I know the patron very well. He's going to have no problem smashing those 12 wings.
Okay. That's fine. I'd put money on that as well. I feel like we need to get the Kevin Harlan, too, right? Because if he has enough beers, but this man is drunk. He's on the field. All right, now let's steer away from that. Right into talking about high school kids. All right, so you just gave me two teams. First Lafayette High, then Westgate, that didn't make it to the semis last year, but we like the look of them heading into 2019. Give me two more.
All right, I'm going to stay in 3A for my next two. And my first one, I'm going to go down to Vermilion Parish and bring the ERAP Bobcats in the mix. Coach Eric LeBlanc's squad last year finished number 27 in the power rankings, went 4-6. They lost their first five games, Ben. After that, they rattled off four of their last five. Had a very tough schedule, though, man. Lost in the first round to Kaplan. They lost in their first round game. They played Kaplan tough in the regular season, though, but they lost to LC College Prep, which is a tremendous team, up and coming. That's a team that made it to the quarterfinals. They only lost 28-14. They had every opportunity to be in that ball game. This year, though, tougher district. They're going to play St. Martinville, Eunice. And the pre-district is, in my opinion, tough as well, though. Ascension Episcopal, who they lost to last year. The Blue Gators went 8-2. They're going to open up with them. Then Lorville, Morgan City, and then North Vermilion, which is an underrated team.
By the way, that kid from Lorville can absolutely sling it. I got to see him a little bit at 7-on-7. That's a tough schedule for you, Rath.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, when you still got to add that, you know, you add Eunice and St. Martinville into the district, it makes it a little bit of a
state champ
tough game.
And a 10-0 regular season team.
Yeah, so look, they get the quarterback back, though. Luke LeBlanc last year threw for over 2,000 yards and 17 touchdowns, though. So that's no slouch. They switched to a spread offense last year. He gets rid of the ball really quickly.
So let me ask you this. Why do you think they switched to the spread offense?
They did last year.
Right. Why do you think so?
Well,
lack of Elijah Mitchell. That'll do it every time. The state's leading rusher from 2017, as I recall.
Yeah, he was tough to tackle, and he's on to have a pretty good career so far.
He looks really good as a raging Cajun.
Yeah.
Anyway, more ERAP.
Yeah, so I think in year two, though, Luke's going to be much more comfortable. He's got a brand new wide receiving core around him, but he's a veteran quarterback. That should help. They have a safety and a linebacker that were all district last year that's going to move over and give them help at the wide receiver position. One of those guys, Lance Toops, all district safety. He's kind of the quarterback of the defense, so I think him getting on the offensive side of the ball is going to help the Bobcats out as well. But he brings a lot to the table on the defense as well.
I didn't know you were going to do research for this. I mean, you got sheets and facts and ready to roll. Well-researched so far. Lafayette High, Westgate, ERAP, schools that didn't make it to the semis or the finals last year. We like them right now, heading into fall camp in 2019. Who's your fourth school?
Well, this is a team that I felt we didn't talk about hardly at all last year, and that's the Crawley Gents, led by Coach Wall. They went 7-3 last year. It's good enough to be number 14 in the state. They were in that tough district, too, with Northwest, Church Point, Iota. Yeah, I mean, that, you know, you name it. They were in that tough district, and they went 7-3. Their losses last year were to Cecilia, which is a little bit of a head-scratcher, but that was early in the year. They rebounded a bunch of nice wins. Then they lost to Eunice, who was eventual state champion, and they lost to Iota, who's really good, 10-0 in the regular season, number one seed. A couple of those games were relatively close. You know, they're gonna take that next step this year, though. They get in the non-district, St. Louis, Westlake, Cecilia, North Vermilion. I think Marksville as well. That's a little bit of an easier slate. They also got a guy who's been starting quarterback for 4 years over there.
That's big.
Marquise Garrett. He's a 2K passer last year. They're going to move to a little bit more of an option-oriented spread offense. He gets a running back and Abdullah Butler back. He's a 1,000-yard rusher with 800 yards receiving last year. They're going to run a little bit more option. Like I mentioned, these two guys can both run. Marquise is excellent with his feet. Hey, his fourth year starting. I mean, look, the kid was starting wide receiver his freshman year. Quarterback gets hurt. He goes in like week four. The rest is history. He started every game for Crawley since. On the defensive side of the ball, they bring a guy like Rodney Goodley back, linebacker junior. All district last year, as well as two-way lineman Josh Richard. He leads the defense. He's good on the offensive line as well. And They have a veteran group up front, which is going to help running that option-oriented offense. I really expect Crowley to take a big step forward this year. District gets a little bit easier. I think they're a little bit easier in the non-district. They should be a team that pushes for 8 wins and makes it past the second round of the playoffs.
I like everything that you're giving me right now. And there's one school that's coming to mind. I don't think they're going to abide by the rules that I asked you to play by today. Didn't make it to the semis, didn't make it to the finals. All right, I had to get on the Google machine to confirm that I was thinking along the right lines, and I am. Vermillion Catholic. I thought they made it to the semis last year, and they did. They got beat by Ascension Catholic. VC. I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say I believe that team wins state in Division 4. I don't know what Southern Lab has coming back, but I know that Southern Lab doesn't have what's his name in the backfield? Ty
Price Davis.
Ty Price Davis. I know that they don't have Cardo Thomas. I know that LCA has moved up in classification. VC, even without one half of the Leger connection, was amazing at 7-on-7. I never try to overinflate the importance of that, but I do take note of it. That is going to be a really good team this year.
Doesn't he get the football out of his hand quickly, Ben? Ooh. The ball just zips out of his hand.
And some of those skill position players are so big for the 1A level. They're going to win a lot of games.
He's a smart guy. I like the way they utilize a lot of shift to get guys in space, get them the football, especially they kind of eat up in that slot position. Not to take anything away from them, I think Ascension Catholic still has a chance to be a good team.
I don't want to forget about them. They've got a new coach, so I wonder what happens there for the Bulldogs.
Southern Lab also returns two guys at the wide receiver position, Reginald Johnson, the University of Houston commit, as well as another guy whose name escapes me who is a D1 prospect. Look, I'm not saying that they're not going to make it, but that division is still very tough. But Leger's tremendous. He's going to be an all-state type performer, especially down here. He's going to put up just ungodly numbers.
I've got a very important question that's going to completely shift gears. You and I got about 2 more minutes left. I know you've been thinking what I've been thinking. And you go and do a show in a bar like this, and you monitor a lot of what comes in and out, right? And it's women, it's men, it's drinks. But at the Taproom River Ranch, you can bring your dog in here. Have you been seeing the dog that's kind of just roaming around and the guy that occasionally comes up after it? Is he pulling the old meat women trick by letting the dog off the leash, or am I just losing it a little?
Well, I mean,
you're sitting here talking about high school football, and all I can think about is...
Is he a French bulldog? I believe that's what
French
he is.
Bulldog.
He's a very adorable
There's
dog.
There's no leash on this dog, and this guy, I think, is playing every woman in here like a sucker right now.
So are you like, kind of clowning him, or are you giving him props for, hey, genius idea?
It's more props.
I thought so.
It's like taking the dog to the park, but he's isolated it to an indoor bar area.
But there's drinks and alcohol flowing.
Yeah.
It's way more genius than the
yes.
park, right? Okay, I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
I don't know. Maybe people are out there getting crunk at the park, but I don't think it's encouraged. I don't think that's legal. It's legal to drink here if you're over 21, right? And so I had to ask another human being right
now. I've been noticing. He came up during the break.
The dog seemingly doesn't have an owner, right? He just walks up to you, and he's friendly as could be, and then, like, 2 minutes later, if you're a girl, the dog's owner walks up. If you're a guy, he never walks up to you. You noticed that, right? He walked up to the guy that's still crushing the wings with the swing sauce, and there would never be an owner there,
right? He just kind of skirted the dog in the other way, and, oh, by the way, there were 2 blondes over at the next table, and I think he swung, you know, most of this segment over there at that same table.
My next question, has the dog been trained to this end, or is it kind of... Like a Ouija board.
Is this training camp? Is this training camp for the dog?
That's a good point.
This could be a test run.
That's a good point.
For you know, a bigger prize.
I wouldn't bring a dog into this place when the Saints are playing, though. I come in here occasionally. I was here for the NFC Championship game. It was packed. I don't know if I would bring a dog into that environment.
No, but look, a nice crowd today. People are in and out. The drinks are flowing.
Oh,
if you're not doing anything on a Thursday night, I say it every week.
Yeah.
You're a fool not to be at this place.
Guys, come out and join us. Bring your ladies. But know that this guy with the dog is going to hit on your wife, girlfriend, or fiance. What happens
but
if there,
you bring a dog,
to her.
If you bring a dog yourself, the odds are probably in your favor.
I don't know. I think that's – you hear about the one-trick pony. I think that's a one-dog trick.
Okay.
It's a one-dog ball.
Well, I mean, the dog might get a little bit possessive, right, and territorial.
Yeah, I could see where that would happen as well.
It went off the rails right here.
I don't know how this happened, but it did, and here we are at the finish line. Blaine, as always, thank you. I'll let the listeners know right now, I will be out of town next Thursday. You're hosting starting at 4, and I know Christopher Kovach is sitting in riding shoddy from 5 to 6. That ought to be entertaining.
All right, we're going to have a ton of fun. I got some things planned for that week, and me and Clint in the first hour, we'll have a good time. I got some guests lined up.
Karen Crow takes over the Taproom River Ranch. It'll never be the same. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in. And boy, are we having a lot of fun at the Taproom River Ranch. Just about 30 minutes to go. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D taking you home on a Thursday. Clint, I just let the cat out of the bag on a few things. One, excited about Yvette Girard joining us live in person tomorrow at Rufino's on the River at 4. Also, next week on a Thursday, right here at the Taproom, Blaine Viator from 4 to 6 will guest host for yours truly. And at least half of that show, he'll be joined by Christopher Kovach of Karen Crow Basketball. You think you're ready for that? Because they might bring the thunder your way.
I think I'm about ready for that, Ben. It's definitely going to be almost like a pseudo-producers reunion, if you will.
That's true. Two-thirds of the way there, plus a little local Coach K. All right, the biggest story here locally in Louisiana, and frankly, it's been on the tube nationally all day. Mike Thomas did not report with the rest of the Saints to training camp today. $40,000 is the fine that he'll get. He'll be pinged 40 large every day that he misses training camp. But he's also not the only one. Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, Trent Williams, among the other stars that didn't report today with their teams. And according to the reports, Thomas is being offered about $18 million. His side wants $22 million. We'll see if they can meet somewhere in the middle. But it certainly appears that unless they can meet, he will not report to training camp. I would have to think this thing gets done sooner than later. But it's still the biggest topic, CD, that we've got going, and we've actually got a little sound now. Let's go straight to the top, and I mean above the head coach. We'll let you hear from Sean Payton momentarily. Let's actually start with general manager Mickey Loomis. This should be comforting, in my opinion. He reiterates that the two sides, Thomas and his camp, and then the Saints, they're really not that far apart.
I can tell you when we're a long ways apart. It's hard for me to tell you when we're close. I think we're close when I see the player in Kai's office with a document in front of him. Then I can tell you we're close. You know, I don't know the mindset of the other party. And, you know, I'm going to find something they like. And at that point, we'll have something done. So,
I think at a bare minimum, the tone of voice would be just markedly different. If Mickey and Jeff Ireland, if all the brain trust thought this thing wasn't about to happen, it wasn't close, one of two things would be true. The tone would be different, or they would just refuse to talk about it in general. They're talking about it. They seem upbeat. That makes me feel good and gives me a little heart on the subject. Not that I need it a ton. But here is what head coach Sean Payton had to say on Michael Thomas no-showing the team's arrival in Metairie.
I think it's something that hopefully will be resolved soon. It was more common, I think, back when some of these picks weren't slotted, more common with rookie players. But, you know, I think his agent, Mickey, those guys are working on it. And, you know, I'm optimistic it'll be done fairly soon.
Maybe I'm wrong. And, Clint, as you know, it won't be the first time. But all I heard there is, thanks a lot, Jamarcus Russell. Thanks, Sam Bradford. You guys got ludicrous contracts. In one case, certainly. Probably in both, didn't live up to the billing and the dollar bills. And so, yeah, now you got to slot these things. And because of that, you can have a guy like Michael Thomas set to make $1.1 million this year. Or even Melvin Gordon, who I mentioned. He's due $5.6 million. This year, under the fifth year of his rookie deal option. So, yeah. Again, a lot of big-time players are missing. Even Jadeveon Clowney did not report yesterday when the Texans were set to come in. And Clowney, who was a first overall pick, is set to make like $15.6 million this year. So the dollars and cents of it have to make sense before everybody comes to terms. Or, like Le'Veon Bell, they just won't come to terms. But I still think ultimately this one ends up okay. I want to reiterate one other point, because I thought this one was incredibly well made by Mike Triplett of the Mothership. Mike Triplett brought up two things. Number one, that the Saints never, ever, ever in their history have they paid a skill position player. Obviously, this won't include quarterbacks. Never have the Saints spent more than $10 million per year on a skill guy offensively. Jimmy Graham's salary, Triplett pointed out, never exceeded that number before they traded him. Here's the other side of the fence, the coin, what have you. Triplett points out that the Saints have never spent that much because no one has ever meant so much to their offense as Mike Thomas currently does. Here are the facts. Number 13 last year caught 125 passes. No other wide out or tight end had more than 35 for the Saints. Now, we know that that number does not include Alvin Kamara. It said receiver or tight end. 125 for one man, an all-pro. No more than 35 for everyone else. And so they're going to have to divide that pie better this year, I would think. Bringing in Jared Cook as a receiving tight end will help. Traquan Smith getting older and being in the system will help. You would think that Ted Ginn Jr. being healthy will help. So a lot of things that people are counting on. Maybe Keith Kirkwood coming into his zone. How possible and realistic some of these things are. Only time will tell. All right, we're just about out of time in this segment and almost for the show, but we're going to spend our final segment wisely. Frank called in yesterday, and he was spot on. Our interviews Monday with former STM Cougar Deuce Wallace, now a defensive back for UL, and wide receiver Bam Jackson for the Cajuns. Those interviews were awesome. We're going to run both of them back, at least the best portions of them, when we return. So stick with us. One more run to go. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Right back in it, getting closer to 7 o'clock, and you're surely getting closer to his first beer of the evening. That's what you do when you're at the Tap Room River Ranch. Welcome back in once more. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And by popular demand, we're going to roll out two quickie interviews. We conducted both of them Monday at Sunbelt Conference Media Day. One of them a local product made good, and we'll lead with him. Deuce Wallace, former STM Cougar, going to line up as a starting defensive back for Billy Napier and the Cajuns this year. We sat down with that young man late in the 4 o'clock hour Monday. He really was gold. He was polished. Here's my Q&A replay with DB Deuce Wallace.
Take our listeners that either haven't seen it or they need to be refreshed through being awarded a scholarship after the spring game. I know that was in 2018, but yeah. What was that moment like for you and your family?
It was awesome. You know, I tell people all the time, it's been a really long process, you know. Being on scout team for 3 years, you know, at times you feel like you're ready. But just because you think you're ready doesn't mean that the coaches think you're ready, you know. So I just needed a little more grooming. And those are tough times, though, because usually, you know, you put in all the hard work, you feel like your work is in vain when you're not getting any, you know, I wouldn't say credit, but, you know, recognition at some point. But to be able to be awarded a scholarship, man, that meant the world to me. You know, that just confirmed that, you know, my work did mean something. It did pay off finally.
Your first full year as a scholarship player under Ron Roberts, his first year obviously with the program. How would you describe his style of defense and then his style of coaching?
Well, I'll go with the style of coaching first. It's aggressive. It's intense. You know, it makes you sit on the edge of your seat. You know, but if you're not wired the right way as a defensive player, it might scare you a little bit. You know, you have to be wired differently to play on his defense. And I think that'll show this coming season, because last year I think we barely scratched the surface.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that. Deuce Wallace, our guest on 103.7 The Game. How was it just that last year? And you can almost feel that there's going to be more coming this year.
Because last year, like I've been saying all day, we were learning from week to week. You know, we had to install a whole defense, you know, in a spring, summer, which is not enough time. But we used last season, the 2018 season, as basically practice, you know. So now we've got 14 games under our belt going into year two. The same defense, same schemes. You know, we just, I think, loaded up our defense even more.
Describe your role in this defense. What do you do? Not just the productivity. Last year was 40 total tackles and interception, but where all can the fans expect to see you line up, and where are they going to see you make plays?
I think they can expect still at the high safety, but I think they can expect me in the box a little more this year.
You like that part of your game?
I love that part. I love that part.
How much have you got to play at that level at St. Thomas More? Maybe a little bit of a fusion linebacker?
Not much.
Okay.
I play maybe, I probably count number of snaps on one hand, snaps of defense I played at St. Thomas More. But my focus was running back.
Who is your least favorite running back to see come through the hole and you got to square him up on your team? Which one of those really good backs?
I'm not going to name any of them because I don't want them to think that I fear any of them, you know?
That's a good play right
but
there.
I can say this. They're all tough to tackle. That's how talented they are. I can say that.
We talk about that a lot in the media. We say, hey, this has got to be one of the best running back rooms in the Sun Belt, maybe even the group of five. Is that just lip service or you see that every
No, you said it best. We have one of the best running back rooms. Every single one of them in that room, from Trey Riggins, Eli Mitchell, Raymond Calais, T.J. Wisham, Ashton Johnson, Chris Smith, to all the walk-ons. It's just – it's a vibe that they all carry, you know?
Got a few more minutes here with Deuce Wallace. We are live inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Tell me about your fellow DBs, the guys that you got to play with last year that are returning, and then maybe some of the young ones that are starting to make an impression.
Yeah, man, we have a lot of guys actually coming back, which is even fun, you know? Not only coming back to the same defense, you get to come back with the same guys that you play with, the same guys you made mistakes with. You guys are both learning from the same mistakes, you know? Again, we got veteran guys like Tariq Miller coming back. You got guys that had limited action last year for whatever reason. Doesn't even matter, but Braylon Trahan. And now he's back in a big role. You have guys like Cam Solomon who's back. You know, it's really exciting. You have even guys stepping up from the walk-on like Cam Podesklo, who showed a lot of improvement this past spring. And then you can go to the corner position. You have Mike Jaquette, who I still find impressive that he came from receiver, you know, and assumed a big cornerback role. Eric Guerra played as a freshman, did very well. Excited to get him back. That was one guy that came in very mature, you know. We have Kamar Greenhouse stepping up. We have a couple more freshman corners. Bobby Holmes, Amir McDaniel, guys that just can flat out play and just ready to compete. So I think we have a hefty group in the back end that's excited for this season.
Deuce, having played this game and then covered it even longer, I know what these next, say, 3 to 4 weeks are about. It's all about us. How do we get better? But is there certain parts of you that is looking ahead to Mississippi State and saying, I want that, and what is it that excites you about that game once you start to turn your attention toward them?
It excites me because that's a team that beat us pretty bad. They left us with a black eye last year. And not too many times do you get to play a team like that again the very next season, much less open up with them in the Superdome, you know. And that's fun to have. And we're going to meet him at a time where we have our players back healthy. You know, we missed Percy Butler last year, and even when he came back, he wasn't the same Percy Butler that, you know, you're going to see him as being this year. I was a guy who played an entire season with a hurt shoulder and produced, which is kind of scary. Yeah. So to have him back healthy, we're just excited, man.
How many family members have already hit you up for tickets for that game?
Honestly, not that many, you know, because I think they understand you can't just come out the woodworks when a big game is coming up, you know. But I appreciate them for not asking.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Look forward to being back here. Let's see. It's July 22nd, so I don't know, about 6 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Deuce, this was fun, too. Thank you, man.
Absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And good luck on your season.
Thank you.
Told you. It was good. And now we get to transition one redshirt senior to another, one awesome first name / nickname to another, from Deuce to Bam. I called him Jared Jackson as I introed his interview. He came up to me right beforehand and said, dude, please call me Bam. And then his interview was absolute fire. So here is that Q&A replay with wide receiver Bam Jackson for the Raging Cajuns.
How would you describe your path at UL and getting to where you are now, a redshirt senior, a leader on this team? You're representing them here at Media Day. Take us from when you started till today.
When I first came in, you know, I was, you know, big eye freshman, had dreams of starting as a true freshman, playing. You know, things kind of got derailed when I got hurt my freshman year. But, you know, when I came back and I finally got back to my old self, you know, I had a couple of ups and downs. But, you know, going through all of that early in my career to now, it was totally worth it. I wouldn't want it any other way, because it molded me into what I am today.
And a season ago, 19 receptions, 325 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Bam Jackson, our guest on 103.7 The Game. How do you feel like you're going to be better this year?
I feel like I'm a better route runner now. And, you know, by this being my second go-round in the offense, you know, I know it. I know it more than I knew it last year. So by me knowing more of the offense, I'm able to play a whole lot faster. And, you know, I've been working on my speed and my strength. So that'll help me elevate my game.
Do you like having a head coach who's so intimately involved with the offense? And if so, why?
Yeah, I love it because, you know, it's not too many times that you have the head coach as your offensive coordinator. So, you know, by him personally calling our plays, I could go ask him, hey, coach, what is this? How do I, you know, what do you need me to do for this play? And, you know, like having information like that come from your head coach is somewhat of a special value.
How special can this receiving core be this year? And give a shout out to some of the guys you know that'll be lining up next to you.
We got a chance to be one of the best in the conference, if not the best in the conference. You know, guys like myself, Jamarcus, Khalif, Brian, Jamal Bell, and some of the other guys. Caleb Carter, if he gets a chance to play, he got burners too. You know, all of us in that receiver room, we work. You know, we put in work together. Oh, and Devin Pauley and Pat Hughes. And Deron Williams. You know, all of us work. We work every day. After every workout, we catch jugs. After OTAs in the summer, we catch jugs. And, you know, all of us are unselfish. We don't worry about our touches. You know, the only time we worry about touches is when we're trying to help. If they're shutting our running game down, we're like, hey, coach, you need to throw the ball to help get our running backs out. You know.
And they listen.
So, you know. It's,
wow.
You know. We just ready to blow. We're ready to blow up this year.
And what about Coach Leger? What's it like going under his tutelage? I don't mind telling you, occasionally I work out at the same place as him and his wife. That man gets after it. I'm serious. At his age, he gets after it.
Yeah, I know. yeah, he get after us sometimes, too, in the film room. But that dude, like his attention to detail, just about the smallest thing that the viewer on TV wouldn't understand. But he gets on us about, like, small things just from stance and start being sloppy in practice. He'll get mad, and that'll be our whole focus for the whole next day of practice. So he gets after us, too, at practice and in the film room. You know, he's, for the most part, he's always intense. He jokes, but when it's business time, that dude is all business for the most part.
Cajun's wide receiver Bam Jackson with us for another moment or two on 103.7 The Game. I know that you prepped at East St. John. Did you grow up in Reserve?
I'm from LaPlace.
Okay.
So I've been trying to get my nameplate changed since my freshman year, but they never changed it. But I'm really from LaPlace. Other people pronounce it as LaPlace, but I don't say it like that.
I'm from Baton Rouge. I'm going to take your word for it. It's LaPlace. Then you go a little bit further, and you're where we are right now in New Orleans. What does this city mean to you? Coming back, you're doing something really cool right now, but then your team gets to do it again, taking on Mississippi State in the Dome. What's that mean to you?
It's special, man. You know, growing up in Louisiana, like, it's just playing, having a chance to play in the Superdome is special because anybody that has ever played football in Louisiana can relate to the statement. It's always been a dream to play in the Dome. Ever since you was growing up, you always dreamed about playing in the state championship in the Superdome, a state championship weekend, the first weekend of December. You know, that's every kid dream growing up in Louisiana. And, you know, by us having an opportunity to open up the season here and then having a chance to possibly close out our season in the same building, playing there twice in one season, that's special. So we know what's ahead of us. We just got to put in the work that's needed for it.
Your quarterback, Levi Lewis, where was he maybe this time last year and where is he right now?
Right now, compared to last year, Levi is light years ahead of what he was. He's always had that locked in mentality and laser focus about him. But this year and this summer, this spring, he's took it to a totally different level. And it benefits everybody. It benefits the offense when he's throwing the ball around that practice real good, and it's benefiting the defense too because it's teaching those guys how to play the ball in the air and how to tighten up their coverage too at the same time.
But then you get the payoff and you get to play football here in the Dome. Not too long from now, like you said, hopefully twice this year.
Right.
Bam Jackson's been our guest. Bam, good luck this season.
Thank
Stay
you.
Healthy. Play well.
Thank you.
I love it. And I'm glad we ran those back. Good on Frank for remembering that and bringing it up in yesterday's show. First the DB, then the wideout. Now everybody just a little bit closer to feeling football season in their bones after you hear that. We got to take time to thank Madeline Adams, Ken Trahan, Eric Mouton, and Blaine Viator. We have been busy at the Tap Room. Don't forget, they've got live music 8 until 11, no cover charge, just the perfect way to start your weekend, and I don't mind if I do. I'll catch you tomorrow from Rufino's on the River. In the meantime, we have been Clint and Ben, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.